Radio here on KBOO. We have been talking about climate change for a couple of decades, and right now we are asking you to support independent journalism, in-your-face journalism, journalism that does not shy away from telling hard and difficult truths. And we are asking you right now to kick down your monthly support to KBOO 877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm. We are looking to raise just about $190. We can do that very quickly, very easily. Right now, with your call, you can actually send us over the top. You got $20. Commit it to your community radio station and commit next month too, and the month after that, because $20 makes such a big impact here at KBOO. And right now we're asking you to just really give until it kind of feel it, because it is in fact a desperate time in which we live. Please call right now, 877-500-5266.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is your KBOO Evening News.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located at 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Scotty's Pizza Parlor, located at 2128 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood of Portland, serving pizza, desserts, and more. Scotty's is open every day from 11:30 to 9 p.m. Dinner provided by Joe Rotisserie and Bar, located in the Alphabet District at 715 Northwest 23rd Ave. Serving new American dishes, Joe's provides live jazz music to dine to. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266. Right now.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The fall drive prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone, mail, or email after Monday, October 8th. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/fall2018drawing. And thank you.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Gazelle Consulting, providing HIPAA compliance and IT security services to businesses throughout Portland and across the West Coast, including HIPAA consulting, software and risk management, and trainings. More information is available online at gazelleconsulting.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, Hurricane Florence closes in on the Carolinas.
The Civil Rights Commission reports disenfranchisement.
And the Columbia River closes to recreational fishing.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, September 13th, 2018. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. A Portland woman who says she was injured when police fired flashbang grenades and other crowd control weapons into a group of protesters plans to sue the city. On August 4th, 53-year-old Michelle Fawcett suffered third-degree chemical burns on her arms and chest during a protest of a right-wing rally. Her lawyer, J. Ashley Albies, wrote in a statement that the incident was a, quote, unprovoked attack on her by members of the Portland Police Bureau. The protesters were opposing a Patriot Prayer demonstration at the Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Along with Fawcett, two other counter-protesters were hospitalized after the same demonstration. Police have since been criticized for their use of flashbang grenades, pepper balls, and other crowd control weapons on protesters. A spokesperson for Mayor Ted Wheeler's office told the Oregonian that they could not comment on pending litigation.
A Portland criminal defense attorney, Gary B. Bertoni, has been suspended from practicing law for a year and a half due to, quote, a pattern of disregard for the interests of his clients, end quote. The Oregon Supreme Court issued the decision after Bertoni appealed a one-year license suspension from February 2017. Last year, the State Disciplinary Board's trial panel found that Bertoni had failed to preserve client property, keep clients informed, and improperly retain client funds after three different complaints. Bertoni appealed to the Oregon Supreme Court, arguing that his actions warranted a reprimand or a suspension of no more than 30 days, not the year-long suspension. In response, the State Bar defended its decision and argued for a harsher two-year suspension. The Oregon Supreme Court upheld the opinion but decided instead on an 18-month suspension. The ruling follows Bertoni's appearance in federal court last month after failing to pay employment taxes. Two other complaints involving Bertoni are currently pending review or under investigation by the bar. According to state wildlife officials, the first ever wild cougar attack in Oregon history occurred in Mount Hood National Forest recently. On August 29th, Diana Bober, who was 55, had been reported missing. Her body was later found September 10th, with medical examination ruling that her injuries matched a cougar attack. DNA samples from the Department of Fish and Wildlife Service's forensic lab confirmed it was a cougar. Officials are trying to locate and kill the cougar, asking if everyone will avoid the area. The Hunchback Trailhead is currently not safe and closed off. The cougar has not been found. Willamette Week reports more than 6,600 cougars live in Oregon, and they cause more than 400 complaints each year, but none have ever killed a person in the state before. The Climb says that cougars are very smart animals that stalk their prey and make sure to be on, and you should make sure to be on the lookout when hiking in areas and pay attention to possible cougar tracks in the area. Stay noisy and make yourself appear big if you encounter one. Maintain eye contact, show off your teeth, and if worst-case scenario happens and the cougar attacks, fight back and aim for the eyes and face.
Beginning today, all recreational and non-tribal commercial fishing in the Columbia River will be suspended. Oregon and Washington fish managers ordered the closure based on low salmon and steelhead counts at Bonneville Dam. The ban, which includes coho, fall chinook, and steelhead, extends from Buoy 10 at the river's mouth upriver to the U.S. 395 bridge near Pasco. Runs of all three species are lagging preseason forecasts, with fall chinook facing the lowest counts since 2007. Nevertheless, managers left open the possibility of renewed sport fishing if numbers improve.
According to officials, artificially treated sewage and stormwater overflowed into the Columbia Slough in North Portland on Wednesday night. The Portland Bureau of Environmental Services said the sewage and stormwater overflowed from the city's wastewater treatment plant for about 20 minutes. The overflow happened because an automatic gate in the plant malfunctioned. They also advised people to avoid contact with the slough for 2 days, and warning signs have been posted in the area. Other parts of the slough further away from the plant were not affected. In a news release, the Bureau of Environmental Services, quote, "The effluent received primary treatment, which removes solids and other contaminants, but it was not disinfected. The volume is unknown, and this incident is being investigated further," end quote.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Ani and Joe to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Grace Ann. You can do it very quickly, very easily, and simply by dialing 877-500-5266. That is the number to our Palace of Pledge here at KBOO. We are looking for your support because it is, in fact, your support that demands our independence. And we give you that independence in the form of news and information that you can use that is relevant to your life, that stays with you and keeps you informed throughout your day. Please call right now with your contribution to support that effort. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, really. It's a grieving that I feel for the lack of support at this very moment. I may have to go crazy rogue. I may have to point out to you that madmen rule the government. I may have to point out to you that the environment is tumbling down around us. I may have to point out to you that KABU is one of the few honest, virtuous sources of news, and remind you that it doesn't exist on a whim. It exists on sweat and blood and, yes, tears. It exists because you, that's you. That's you. Don't kid around, boy. That's you. 877-500-5266. When you call that, a smiling, sweet, smart staff will help you to Nirvana. Yes, 877-500-5266. The Nirvana of knowing that you have made possible the greater struggle for the greater good of humanity. Please, don't prevaricate. Don't dismiss. Don't say, oh, they're just asking for money. Do it. Support us. Make it grow. Make it exist in powerful ways, and make it reach out to support the democracy you deserve. KBOO.FM. Do it now. Don't hesitate. Don't even think twice. And if you can give more than you usually do, do that too. What the hell? It's only money.
That's right, and we all know that community radio will get you through times of little money more than little money will get you through times of no community
radio. That's marijuana. That's marijuana.
Well,
you're totally
confused. I could be. But here's the thing. Community radio is super important, and that is, in fact, what we make here. We make it together. We make it with you, our listeners, because your support keeps us independent and keeps us viable. And right now, we are looking for more support from you at 877-500-5266. We have a $300 goal for this evening's newscast, and right now is a great time to contribute to KABU because, well, you know, the news matters. It keeps us informed. We can inspire each other, and we can take right action together to change the world. You know that being informed is important, and right now we're asking you to support independent news broadcasts with your membership money. 877-500-5266. Become a member of KABU right now. $60 is a great way to show your support for KABU, just $5 a month, and it's really, I'm going to say $5 a month is doable for just about every person listening.
I mean, what is that, a latte?
It is, in fact, probably less than a latte if you actually leave a decent tip, and you should. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
The U.S. Census Bureau in a new report shows that voting rights are under attack in several states around the country. The commission was unanimous in finding that in states across the country, new laws and voting procedures are impacting minority voting rights. These laws and procedures include strict voter ID laws, closing of polling places, cutting early voting, voting roll purges, and challenges to voter eligibility. The commission voted unanimously for several key recommendations, including calling for Congress to amend the Voting Rights Act to restore and/or expand protections against voting discrimination, and to incorporate rules that are more streamlined and efficient than existing provisions of the Act. They also called on Congress to consider the reality that as populations shift, infringement of voting rights may occur in jurisdictions that do not have extensive histories of discrimination.
A new report by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights shows that voting rights are under attack in several states around the country. The commission was unanimous in finding that in states across the country, new laws and voting procedures are impacting minority voting rights. These laws and procedures include strict voter ID laws, closing of polling places, cutting early voting, voting roll purges, and challenges to voter eligibility. The commission voted unanimously for several key recommendations, including calling for Congress to amend the Voting Rights Act to restore or expand protections against voting discrimination that are more streamlined and efficient than existing provisions of the Act. They also called on Congress to consider the reality that as populations shift, infringement of voting rights may occur in jurisdictions that do not have extensive histories of discrimination.
If you're feeling a sense of deja vu, call in and pledge 877-500-5266. The separation of parents and children under the Trump's zero tolerance guidelines caused a global uproar and forced Trump to rescind the policy. And the administration is at it again, attempting to change the rules and allow unlimited detention of undocumented families with minor children. But you can do something. KBOO's Ray Bodwell has this commentary.
For a developing child, the loss of a parent or parents is one of their greatest fears. Whether the child is separated from the parent through death, divorce, incarceration, or some other unfortunate event, the resulting separation anxiety can be debilitating for the child, and the damage can last a lifetime. This is not fake news. This is a fact, well documented in psychological literature. Between April and June of this year, the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy resulted in the separation of over 2,600 children from their parents, nearly 500 of whom still have not been reunited with their families, despite a court order to complete the reunification process by the end of July. In many cases, the parents of these still separated children were deported, and the Department of Homeland Security is unable to reconnect the children with their parents. The inhumanity of the zero-tolerance policy raised an outcry at home and condemnation from around the world. Now, you might think that this international humiliation would cause the Trump administration to rethink its policies regarding the undocumented immigrants with children, but you would be wrong. On Friday, the Health and Human Services Department announced a proposed rule change regarding the length of time that the Department of Homeland Security can detain immigrant children. Current policy is that minors cannot be detained for longer than 20 days, and since we've presumably stopped separating parents from their children, the result is that undocumented immigrant families with minors cannot be held for more than 20 days. The proposed rule change would eliminate the 20-day limit and allow DHS to hold these families indefinitely. The administration's cynical thinking is that undocumented families are simply using their children to avoid long-term detention, and that this rule change will deter these families from seeking refuge in the United States. The change to indefinite detention for entire families would require ICE to dramatically expand its family detention facilities well beyond the current capacity of 3,000 beds. To accomplish this, we recently learned that the Trump administration has moved $10 million from the Federal Emergency Management Administration budget to the DHS. They cut FEMA's budget as the largest hurricane since 1954 is preparing to strike the Carolinas. Evidently, incarcerating refugee families is more important to the Trump people than hurricane response. Evidently, incarcerating refugee families is more important than hurricane response. But the rule change has not yet been finalized, and it turns out that U.S. citizens actually have 60 days to weigh in on the DHS's proposed rule change. I would urge everyone to do so. Go to www.federalregister.gov. This is the home of the Daily Journal of the United States government. Or if it's easier for you, just Google Federal Register. Once you're to the Federal Register website, type the words alien minors into the search bar, and you'll be led to a page where, among other documents, you'll find one entitled, quote, Apprehension, Processing, Care, and Custody of Alien Minors and Unaccompanied Alien Children. Open that page and you'll have an opportunity to submit a formal comment about the proposed rule change. Do our comments actually matter? I have no idea, so I would also suggest a call or email to Senators Merkley and Wyden. The use of children as pawns in this administration's war on undocumented immigrants has got to stop, and to do nothing is not acceptable. It's imperative that you take this opportunity to make your voice heard. For KBOO, this is Ray Bodwell.
Just before the hurricane season, as mentioned before, the Trump administration transferred $9.8 million from the Federal Emergency Management Administration to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to fund deportations and family separation. This news was made public yesterday by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, who discovered the information while researching how migrant children separated from their parents are being treated. The Department of Homeland Security confirmed the funds transferred from FEMA, but said that none of the funds came from disaster response and recovery efforts. Senator Merkley noted, however, that the budget document he obtained shows the money came from response and recovery. On Friday, the powerful Class 2 Hurricane Florence is expected to make landfall in the Carolinas.
The number of children detained by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency has expanded from 2,400 in May 2017 to 12,800 this month, according to a report in the New York Times. The increase is not caused by more children entering the country, but by the new Trump administration policy of refusing to release children to live with families and other sponsors. The huge increase is causing a strain in the widespread system of detention. In the infamous Desert Tent Children's Prison near Tornillo, Texas, the number of beds is to increase from 400 to 3,800, according to Texas Monthly journalist Bob Moore. The new policy includes a demand that each member of any family that accepts a refugee child must submit to fingerprinting so that they can all be checked against lists for deportation. As a result, shelter loading capacity has gone from an average of 30% in years past to over 90% now. Meanwhile, the Southern Poverty Law Center reports that the acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Ronald Vitiello, has attended a conference held by the anti-immigrant hate group Federation for American Immigration Reform. Vitiello attended the gathering on the 5th of September and was interviewed there by conservative radio host Tom Roten.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work very hard to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us now are Joe and Ani to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Please do take a moment out of your day right now to join KBOO because it is such a very important thing to do. Claim the airwaves for your own and your community. Amplify your own voice and the voice of other community members and support KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call right now with your pledge of support. And I'm going to suggest that you go ahead and give at the $25 a month level because you can. Yes, think about it. Think about what you get with $25 and commit it to bettering your community and bettering your world every month. $25, adding up to $300 over the course of a year. And with that, we would love to thank you with this KBOO hoodie. And you know, we would love to thank you by continuing KBOO and making it stronger with your support. 877-500-5266.
You know, the criminal family Trump is in danger of ruining us all. Really, really. This is not prevarication. This is not exaggeration. This is reality. It's becoming more and more clear. You need to listen to KBOO News. You need to make a serious contribution. Now, maybe you can't afford the $300. Maybe you can only afford $60. So be it. But make that contribution and make that commitment and stay listening to KBOO. It's really important. It's a choice for freedom, not foolishness. Give to KBOO at 877-500-5266 and online at kboo.fm. Do it now. Don't fool around. This is no joking time. This is the real thing.
It's true. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Please do join us. We have a phone line open and we would love to fill it up with your support right now. I also want to let everyone know that everyone calling the number 877-500-5266 today will be entered to win a chance, entered for a chance to win a $200 gift certificate to the Rebuilding Center. You can go to kboo.fm for all the rules and details on all the prizes. But again, it all starts with your phone call at 877-500-5266. You can contribute online at kboo.fm. Maybe you have our phone app. I think our phone app is actually one of the easiest ways to listen to KBOO, as well as to access all of the archived programming, all of our podcasts, and any of the shows that you may have missed in the past. You can listen to them on demand on our phone app. It's free and available from your favorite app store. And it's a good way to listen to KBOO. When you are listening that way, tap the donate button. And again, kick down just a little of your money so that we can continue strengthening your community radio station. 877-500-5266 is that number, or online, kboo.fm.
That's 877-500-5266. Call now.
Because if you wait till later, you might forget. Just do it. It's a really quick, simple thing to do. It empowers us all together. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.org. This is community radio. We, train people here from the communities to do radio journalism, to conduct interviews, to produce the audio, to be talk show hosts, just like Joe and I do. And this is what your money goes towards. Your money goes towards a free training program and towards keeping the airwaves strong and free and independent so that we can, in fact, make great community radio together. It is, in fact, taking everyone's participation. Community radio is not something that you do passively. It's not a spectator sport. It's not, you know, this thing that maybe exists someplace far away with or without you. No, we exist because of you. You are an essential part of this community radio station. And right now, we're asking you to make this a very tangible connection and to call 877-500-5266. I'm going to go ahead and suggest that you give that $25 a month because, in fact, that level of support means so very much. Actually, all support means so very much. We chip away at our goals together. But if you can give $25 a month, please do that right now because you know there are many people in the community that can't give that amount. And so we try to even things out with everyone giving what they can. And Joe has been mentioning how important it is to make sure that community radio stays strong and independent and that you have good sources for news and information so that we can be informed together. We can try to make sense of this totally crazy world and situation together, and then we can, in fact, take right action to resist that and to change the world and make it a better place together. 877-500-5266.
Please, from each according to his ability, to each according to their need. You know, I heard that years ago. That's an old thing. And it's true. And KABU is doing the work, and it can do the work much, much better with more and more support. It's very important. This is a very lousy time in history, and the hurricane's coming. So you want to, before it hits, although it won't go anywhere
on
near,
this coast, but
it
yeah.
won't go anywhere near us. Anyway, think of it this way. Before the hurricane hits, it's a world-class event. You need to make a contribution, and that contribution can be made at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. Do it now.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, and we'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership. Did you get your hoodie yet? You could up that pledge to 25 and get the hoodie. Become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Stay tuned at 6 o'clock. It's Rose City Native Radio at 7, Hard Knock Radio, followed by Affable Radio at 8. Tonight's weather here in Portland and east of the Cascades and Hood River will be partly cloudy with a low of around 53 degrees, followed by some more clouds and high in the mid-70s tomorrow. Today in history, children's author Roald Dahl was born in the year 1916. Dahl spent his childhood between his parents' homeland of Finland and in Wales, where he attended school. One of his teachers was quoted as saying that she had never met a child that, quote, so persistently write words meaning the exact opposite of what is intended, end quote. His time in school gave him an abhorrence of corporeal punishment that he never got over. He went on to become a fighter pilot during World War II and became part of British intelligence. His writing career led him to become one of the most beloved children's authors of all time. And the quote of today is from Roald Dahl, quote, a little nonsense now and then is cherished by the wisest men, end quote.
And now it's time for a report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Alaska Federation of Natives, the leading Native organization in Alaska, opposes the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. The organization Wednesday released a statement of opposition saying the AFN joins others in Indian Country urging the Senate to vote against the nominee because of his views on the rights of Native people. Concerns include his views on the power of Congress and Indian affairs, which challenges power beyond trade. Kavanaugh's view on trust responsibility is limited on the federal government's power to deal with Native people, and his public questioning of Native Hawaiian recognition. According to the AFN, documents released so far show Kavanaugh would be troubling for Native people. Tribal leaders, Native women advocates, and other Native organizations have raised concerns about the nominee, as well as some U.S. Democratic senators who serve Indian Country. Tribal leaders from across the country are in Washington, D.C. for Unity Impact Days, a two-day gathering hosted by the National Congress of American Indians. Tribal leaders are engaging with lawmakers and Trump administration officials. Issues include the Farm Bill, the Interior Department reorganization, and the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. On Wednesday, Chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, Senator John Hoeven, discussed the committee's work, highlighting 18 of 29 bills from the committee have passed the Senate. Five have been signed into law. Hoeven expressed the need for more work to be done in Congress for tribes. The Choctaw Nation Emergency Management Team has been deployed to help with response efforts to Hurricane Florence. The Oklahoma tribe partnered with the state of Oklahoma to send a team to North Carolina. The team is joining other emergency management groups in response to a national compact, which is a U.S.-wide mutual aid system, to allow states to send personnel, equipment, and commodities to help in disaster relief efforts in other states. Tribes in the Carolinas have been preparing for the storm. Federal emergency management officials held briefings Thursday morning as the outer bands of Florence began hitting the Carolina coast. A group in Sioux Falls is planning the city's first Native American Day Parade. Organizers will use the day next month to honor elders and show inspiration behind the state holiday. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Leaders hope to use the parade to highlight the cultures of local tribal nations. Parade organizer Richie Richards says the inspiration for such an event in Sioux Falls came from 400 miles away.
Well, it all began with the Native American Day Parade that began in Rapid City, and I believe this is going to be the fourth year that Rapid City has been doing a parade, Native American Day Parade, on the Saturday prior to Native American Day. And so we wanted to expand on that.
Richards says honoring our elders is the theme for the first Native American Day Parade in Sioux Falls. Organizers have created a Facebook page to provide details on the October 8th parade. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
A statue in San Francisco the Native community says glorifies Spanish colonization and genocide will be removed. The San Francisco Chronicle reports a city board voted Wednesday to take the statue down. Pioneer Monument features a Spanish cowboy and a missionary standing over an Indian on the ground. It has been the center of debate for decades. Native Americans in California have long sought its removal. In 2017, calls for it to be taken down were reignited as the battle over Confederate monuments across the country were taking place. The San Francisco statue could be removed as early as next week. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support for law. The corporate parents of the Marlboro and Camel cigarette brands have spent $7.7 million financing opposition to a Montana ballot referendum that would lead to government-funded health care for around 94,000 people in the state. The measure proposes a $2 per pack cigarette tax, which would fund Medicaid. Regulators found that the companies violated the state's campaign finance rules by not disclosing support to Montanans Against Tax Hikes, or MAF, a group campaigning against the measure. A phone number provided for MAF went to the voicemail of lobbyist Shelley DeMars, who had worked as communications director for Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke when he was in Congress. Jonathan Schleifer, executive director of the Fairness Project, which is organizing support for the ballot initiative, said, quote, "It's a simple choice. Medicaid saves lives. Big tobacco kills," end quote.
The Spanish government has decided to go through with a deal to sell 400 laser-guided missiles to Saudi Arabia. This is a reversal of the decision last week to scrap the deal due to reservations that the weapons may be used to kill civilians in Yemen. Foreign Minister Joseph Borrell told Spanish radio station Onda Cero, quote, "The decision is that these bombs will be delivered to honor a contract that comes from 2015 and was made by the previous government. We found no reason not to carry it out." Spain and other countries, such as the United States and the United Kingdom, have been under criticism for selling weapons to Saudi Arabia while it is involved in a war with Yemen. The previous announcement of the cancellations led to praise from human rights groups such as Amnesty International and the Campaign Against Arms Trade. According to Amnesty, Spain is the fourth largest seller of military arms to Saudi Arabia. When asked about the possibility for civilian deaths, Foreign Minister Borrell said, quote, "This kind of weapon does not produce the same sort of bombing as less sophisticated weapons, launched at a bit randomly, that create the sort of tragedy that we have all condemned," end quote.
Now is your chance to show support for the work, work, work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, Hurricane or Shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Ani and Joe. Membership Central and Joe to talk about how you
Hey, come on, man. It's me. I'm here. I'm here.
You're anonymous now. You're Membership Central.
Really?
Just put the mask on.
I plead, I beg, and forget my name, forget Ani's name, but remember.
Remember Kabu's name.
Yeah, remember Kabu's name and number. Please, this is whatever you can afford, more, better. Please, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or online, kboo.fm. Am I right?
You are right.
Of course I am.
Absolutely. 877-500-5266. Or online, kboo.fm. And again, this is your way to claim the airwaves, to amplify your voice, to amplify the voices of marginalized communities, amplify the voice of resistance, amplify the voice of actual journalism that journalists that dig deep to actually bring you the news that is relevant to your life, to make connections between stories, to actually, you know, tell the truth. I'm just going to say it. Tell the truth. 877-500-5266. This is radio from the grassroots level. This is news from the street eye view. This is what your membership money actually supports. Here at KABU, your community radio station, 877-500-5266 is the number to call when you are ready to make your commitment to your community to make the world a better place. And I'm going to ask that you go ahead and reach in and do something significant. Got $15? Do you have $15 right now? Commit $15 a month to your community radio station. Works out to be $180 over the course of a year, which is more money than I could ever give at once, but I give more than $15 a month because I can budget that into my, you know, sort of monthly expenses, and it feels good. It feels good to know that every month I am contributing to my community radio station. I'm asking you to do the same thing right now at 877-500-5266. I want to thank Brock, who actually increased his monthly contribution to KABU right now.
Yay, Brock!
Thank you, Brock, from Southeast Portland. You did the right thing. I'm ringing the cowbell. And Brock got himself a fine KABU knit hat. Because, you know, it's getting cold. It's getting chilly. 70 tomorrow. But, you know, it's going to be fall-like after that. It's unpredictable.
Really?
I've been chilly this week. I know. So you might want to get this KABU knit cap. You might want to get the hoodie.
Watch out with the hoodie, though.
Whatever you want as a thank you gift, we're happy to give you. But we need to hear from you first. You start this relationship with your support to Community Radio. 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm. It is so important that you back what you believe in. It is so important that you financially support radical community organizations that are here to, in fact, try to unify some resistance to make the world a better place. And we do it by keeping people informed about what's going on within our communities, about actions coming up, about ways you can get involved, and why it's important to do so. That's what we do here as the community broadcasters. We're asking you to help pay the bills and to keep us on the air because we are listener supported. Dear listener, it's time for you to step up and support. 877-500-5266.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive of the KABU Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Aiden Moyer, Yasmin Kobanoglu, and Lucas Campbell. The producer is Grace Ann Smith, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. The interim directors of Evening News and Public Affairs are Sam Bowman and Teresa Mitchell. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Teresa Mitchell. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting, Greg Palast joins Ani and Lynn to talk about his court battle to protect voting rights across the nation. Call with a pledge and get your copy of Greg's film, the latest version of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. At 9, Beloved Community welcomes Dave Furra, founder of the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project. At 10, Valley Views looks at solutions to the housing and healthcare challenges in Lynn and Benton counties in Oregon. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, The Digital Divide asks how we can use science to benefit society and keep it from harming us. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. You can become a member during this fall membership drive by calling 877-500-5266.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Sankar Rahman is a retiree from the tech industry and an immigrant from India, having moved here in 1980. Rahman is the board president of an organization called The Immigrant Story. The organization invites immigrants here in the Portland area to tell their stories. These published pieces can be found on theimmigrantstory.org. KBOO reporter Annette Newell had the chance to speak with him.
My name is Sankar Rahman. I'm the board president of The Immigrant Story.
Okay. Tell me a bit about yourself first. You came to America years ago?
Yes. I came here to America as a student in 1980. I have been here since then. Now I retired from the tech industry. I worked there for a long time. And so I'm a resident of Portland, Oregon.
And you worked at Intel here, right?
That's right.
Okay, for many years, and then you retired. And you originally came from India.
That's right. I originally came from India and in a student visa. And then I became an immigrant and then later on naturalized citizen.
Did you find yourself accepted at that point in time by American society?
In general, overall, though, it is a great place to be, and I really think that I have achieved the American dream from the way that, where I came from, what I have accomplished, what the, kind of education and educational level this country given to me, basically. I have a PhD and I have master's degrees, and they all came from top-notch universities, and I'm really grateful for that, right? As a person of color, when you live a long time in different places, including Midwest and Southeast, where I have lived before, you come across, biases, racial injustice here and there, hate speech now and then. It happens to every one of us, and so that is, I think, we take it as it comes along, and then we are guarded against it. We continuously think about it in the back of our mind and the places we go and the things we do, but nonetheless, the bigger picture is really about achieving the American dream and living a fruitful life and giving back to the community. America has been great in that respect.
Now, The Immigrant Story is something that you started up.
Yes.
And how many folks have you profiled on there so far?
We are going to be publishing our 50th story, actually. So we have profiled 50 stories around Portland. You know, some of them are outside of the state of Indiana, I mean, state of Oregon itself. So we have stories, most of the stories, I would say 95% of the stories in the Portland area. When we say Portland area, it really covers from Gresham to Carlinias and Forest Grove, the suburbs of Portland City metro area. So we have about, 30 different countries we have profiled. About 20 of them are refugees. About 21 of them are immigrants. You know, 5 dreamers, undocumented. And there are about 3 first gen, meaning they were born in this country to immigrant parents. And that's pretty much how our story profile looks like today.
How difficult has it been for some of these folks to not only escape the hardship in their own countries, but then to come here and build their lives?
So, it is an interesting question. And the very reason why we started it is because of the environment we have been ever since, the election time, and even before during the campaign season. You know, it's been a very, very tough, times for the folks. Especially immigrants of color, and some of them are in particular two groups were targeted, in my opinion. One was the Latino folks, the other one is a Muslim, and the Muslim woman in particular who were wearing hijabs were particularly targeted, so to speak. And so the main reason why we started this one is to amplify the other side of their stories, to bring out what they're experiencing, what they're feeling. And, I think the idea is to really to try to tell their stories and give them a platform for their voices. You know, some of them really went through hate speech in our area. We had a project, what we called the Who We Are. It is traveling in Portland right now. And that covers really the hate speech encountered or the emotions are underneath the community of Muslim women right after the Max incident, for example. We profile about 6 Muslim women over a period of 1 year. You can see the underneath what the emotions this community was feeling. It is really for the community to show the we are all in it together, and we actually, this community is all of us, and tell them that you are not in it by yourself. The whole community is behind you, to really outwardly show the community that this community, our community, cares for all of us. That's, I think, is the gist of it.
How many years ago was it that you came to America?
In 1980, August 13th, it's a Friday, the August 13th. So I came on that day, which happened to be an auspicious day for my community. But, I later learned that Friday the 13th is not so great. But anyway, I left on that day from India and came to this country, yes.
How do you think your life today would be different if you had stayed in India and you had not come here?
It is tough to project, but I will tell you this, though, just like many immigrants, I was looking for opportunities. When I was graduating from graduate school back home in the old country, the unemployment rate was about 28%. It was going through height of, turmoil financially. So I was really looking for an opportunity. And I was also very young and ambitious, and I was really studious, and I really wanted to go for higher studies. And so this country was perfect then. Even now it is for a lot of us. The brand America is something that you really want to look forward to. Those days when I was young and I came here to go for higher studies, and it was a fantastic opportunity. And I think, for providing that opportunity and providing that education and providing after graduation from the school, able to find the job of my lifetime, and then work in leading edge of the technology is absolutely wonderful. I don't know whether I would get that kind of opportunity anywhere in the world.
And you became a software engineer here.
Actually, I was a process engineer, the other side of software. I used to tell jokes, and I used to know how to make the best chips in the world, but I didn't know how to make salsa. But I was in the making process of that. You know, I was an engineer making those, worked in the making of the chips, yes.
Okay. Do you think you would have had an opportunity like that in India?
At that time, no, because I think the India at that time was both economically and technologically definitely not as advanced, and that opportunity is definitely not going to be there. And I think that is a main driving force for many of the young scientists and engineers who come here, not only, for the education and the American dream or money, but then the opportunity to work in that leading edge of technology is what a lot of us, really wanting to do, to work in the big name industries or a big name, scientific advancements or engineering projects that we all participate in. So that is a big, big drawing force for many of us, come here to attend big name schools, and it is still continuing, and it will continue as long as we are, staying the leading edge of technology. And you have to remember too, the immigrants' contribution to make this country number one in those fields, is really a large amount. They make the largest contribution. Of course, a very well-known fact is that America gets the most number of Nobel Prize every year, and then every year the Nobel Prize winners, majority of them tend to come from foreign countries. That's an obvious way to look at it. But then if you go to any of these high tech industries and software firms and technologically leading edge companies, you would see the immigrants' contribution to those areas, really put us in the leading edge of the technology today.
Hmm. How long have you been in Oregon?
I have been in Oregon for 14 years now. Before then, I used to come here now and then and stay 6 months or so, and then do work and then go back and stuff like that. And then we decided to move permanently here.
And before that, where did you live in America?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay. So you first came to New Mexico and then you moved here.
I actually came to, go to grad school at, Indiana. And then after grad school, I worked, briefly in Georgia. And then I moved over to, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Started working for a technology company there. And then I transferred over to, within that company, I transferred over to Portland in 2004.
And how long ago did you start the immigrant story?
The immigrant story, the foundation of it was started on the day that there was an Indian engineer in Kansas who was shot dead. I believe it was February 26th of 2017. Last year, and the official date we started was April 15th, and that's when we had all the infrastructure cleaned up. We had a website going, we had few stories to publish and showcase, and then officially we unveiled it on April 15th last year.
So that tragedy basically sparked you and into saying, hey, these people's stories need to be told?
Yes, yes. And I, personally, it could have been me, even though, I'm a little bit older compared to, these engineers who were out of, they were just having a drink after work in Kansas, in a suburb of Kansas, city. And, when the hate, speech goes to a level that somebody pulls out a gun and starts shooting these folks, one of them died. It really sparked an image in me that it could have been me as well, right? And then I said, we need to do something about this. The only thing that I was able to do is to just to tell the stories to amplify the goodness that immigrants and the folks bring to this country.
Do you have a favorite among the stories?
It's tough, because they're all so beautiful stories. It is It is you know, you really have to read it, and I think it covers a gamut of stuff. You know, either a mother, you know, talking about their son immigrating, who herself is a, you know, immigrant, or a professor who has done enormous amount of work in their field and became a distinguished professor in this country, or a refugee, you know, young refugee who has, you know, run from a very tough situation, or a genocide survivors. You know, it covers your large experiences. You know, it covers a wide range of stories, and it is very difficult to pick one particular thing. But I think there's, you know, there is a lot of these stories, and you know, I would say though for sure, you know, it is very inspiring. You know, if you read it, depending upon, you know, if you read, you know, a few of them, depending on the type of stories you like, I assure you, you will find some very inspiring stories. And we publish it every Saturday morning so that you can just drink a coffee and read a story, a new story, and, you know, get inspired by it. You know, I promise that, you know, it brings, you know, sometimes, you know, tears, sometimes, you know, smile, and sometimes, you know, it talks about their hard work ethic and stuff like that. But most of the time, you would leave with, you know, thinking about their resilience, thinking about the goodness they bring in, and how hard they are working, and how difficult to for some of these folks to, you know, achieve that American dream. So, you know, it will be a fantastic read, I promise you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Sankar Rahman.
Thank you. Thank you for having this opportunity.
Sankar Rahman is the founder of The Immigrant Story. I'm Annette Newell.
Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio. But first, we go to Joe and Ani to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
Absolutely. And this is a great reason why you should be calling 877-500-5266. You just heard Annette Newell's interview with Sankar Rahman. The immigrant story is, that's incredible, right? And so right now what we're doing is showing you that we bring you voices from folks you don't generally hear from. We bring you the stories from our communities to the airwaves so that we can all listen to them, we can all learn, and we can get stronger together. You're an important part of that puzzle. Please call us right now with your membership support at 877-500-5266. We have just $180 remaining of our goal this afternoon.
We can do it. We can do it.
We can. We can absolutely do it right now. Please call with your membership support. If you can contribute $15 a month, you can take care of that $180, the rest of that goal, just yourself. But maybe you can't give quite that much. Consider giving monthly and know that you can make that commitment. And right now I'm talking to your neighbor who can make that commitment. And now I'm talking to maybe your Aunt Susan who can make that commitment. And you can dial 877-500-5266 because it's everyone working together to sustain community radio that actually makes us strong. It is the over 5,000 of you who are our grassroots supporters. We are asking for that number to increase so that we can in fact grow stronger together. 877-500-5266.
You know, this is, we have to come to you, and we have to whine, and we have to beg, and we have to make a lot of noise to get you to give money, and we shouldn't have to, actually. You should know that this station tells you the truth. You should know that this is a crisis time in our history. You should know that this is one of the few voices that you can depend on, and you should know that it's worth your investment, whatever you can afford. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. Do it now. Make yourself feel good. Make us feel good. Make the world a bit better.
That's right. We are all better when we support what we believe in. We are stronger together than we are individually. And so right now I'm asking you to make a commitment to your community to support everyone's voice being heard here on the KBOO airwaves that is speaking their truth for social justice, for social change that brings us peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Yeah, those are the eight inherent values that are actually scribed into KABU's program charter. How cool is that? If those are values you share, please support those values on the airwaves. Back what you believe in right now with your call of support. Monthly sustaining memberships are a great way to go. A one-time contribution is fantastic. Whatever you can afford, we would love to accept. But it starts with your call at 877-500-5266. And go ahead, why not give $10 every month? Give $10 every month to your community radio station and know that that actually helps us significantly while it's relatively easy on your budget. 877-500-5266 is the number to call when you make that commitment right now. 877-500-5266.
You know, it's like Superman with truth, justice, and the American way. Kinda, sorta, but not really. And, in fact, it's like what ought to be the combination of forces that can make the world better. You need to make a commitment. These are times of great fear and times of great crisis, but this voice here, KBOO, will carry you through as it has often done. You need to make a commitment to this station, and you need to do it right now. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM on the internet.
And I want to thank Jennifer in Southwest Portland,
Jennifer,
for doing so this afternoon. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And now we make way for Rose City Radio.
The time is 6 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO. Up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The KABU Board of Directors will meet twice in September. The first meeting is Monday, September 17th at 6 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located at 2805 Northeast